It is another edition, another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I am your host, Mike. On the other side of the table is Ken. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great and wonderful. How about yourself, Sir Mike?
Oh, I couldn't believe just how much Marvel news there is this week.
So quite a bit of Marvel. Well, quite a bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news.
Yeah, a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. And also some animation news and Fantastic Four news. No Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. It was a repeat, which I think you were thrilled about that.
Oh, yeah, I was very thrilled about it. I think it was like the second episode, wasn't it?
I think actually it was like episode 4.
Oh, okay.
It's the one with the scientist.
There's a tractor trailer and all that.
Yeah, it was like episode 3 or 4. But speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the two big stories out of it is Lady Sif is coming to the show episode 15 as a guest.
Yeah, which will be played by Jamie Alexander.
From
also played her in the movie, in the Thor Dark World movie.
So you think this is too little too late?
No, I don't know, honestly, because it's just been, people are liking the past couple episodes, but we're on episode, 14 now?
I think so.
I don't mean it, bringing all these people in, apparently it was the plan all along, and it was written. Why they didn't do it sooner, I don't know, but as long as they get, I don't know, how many episodes are in the season?
I think there's going to be 22 this season.
22. I mean, it could save it the end of the season if it starts getting good. I mean, the numbers are still up there.
Right.
Sure they go on.
There's still a lot of critiques, though, about the show. And I think the reason why the numbers are up is because people are still watching to see if it's going to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Yeah, I know people that are like that.
But there's still a steady decline in the show, numbers.
Take somebody like me who I really regularly don't watch it. I kind of got fed up and bored with it. Will I go back to see these characters? Sure, I'll check it out. So I think it is helping that they're bringing these characters in.
Right. Well,
like I said, though, it's been planned since the beginning to do this.
Right. I just think it's... What was Sif? It's a little too late. They should have done it as part of the Thor crossover that
true.
They advertised.
That's true.
Not,
which they didn't do.
Which they didn't bring anyone in from the movie. All they did is just rehash some of the movie footage into the show.
Another thing the show's got to get out of doing is always referring back to the movies. Oh, but in this, it had this and this and this happened. You know what I mean?
It's, right.
It's just getting a little old.
Yeah.
And to stand on their, I mean, of course, they can tie it in. That's one, but just going back to something that has nothing to do with what's going on currently.
Right.
It's a little old. I see your point on bringing this character in now. Like, when was Thor released? In November?
Exactly. And it was November 19th that they did the Asgardian episode, which we're coming to find out. I mean, the Asgardian used was a low, low level.
Yeah,
that's when you should have brought Sif in.
Apparently.
Not now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that kind of irks me is there's not enough Marvel. And if this was the plan to bring more Marvel in by the end of the season, okay, but I'm almost thinking it's still too little too late. Because J. August Richards' character, Mike Peterson, of course, here we go, changing the Marvel Universe slightly. He's coming in as Deathlok.
Well, there's been different people that have been Deathlok, I believe. And there's never really been any backstory on Deathlok, if I'm correct.
Right. So
this is kind of doing some new building backstory on the character.
Could be. Well, apparently, the villain in the Sif episode is going to be Laura Lee, which I'm not familiar with.
I'm not really familiar with the character either.
But with
it's a Thor villain,
right? But with Richards coming in as Deathlok, and that's going to be this next coming episode with Stan Lee as well. Which the last time we saw Mike Peterson, no legs.
He wasn't too off too well.
No, he was really out there. This is going to be the first major Marvel character appearing on TV for the first time, talking about Deathlok. Executive producer Jeff Bell went on to add, "You're in the back half of the movie. We set it up, and now we're going to pull the trigger."
Pull a trigger on what?
Yeah. I don't get it. I really don't.
You think they should have had these characters, like, after building up at least 5 episodes or so, and then, boom, right into this kind of thing? Instead of waiting so long, I mean, you know, we're almost to the end of the season.
Right. Well, it makes me wonder, too. We've already got 2 episodes involving, one involving Lady Sif, another one, at least one, involving Deathlok.
Do you think they're trying to do too much in a short amount of time?
I think so, because there's a four episode story arc with Bill Paxton's character.
Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Well, if there's 22 episodes, and we're at episode 14. We've only got 8 more episodes to go.
When does his episodes begin?
I don't think they ever said.
Maybe he has something to do with all these, with Deathlok or something.
And I hope they don't use Bill Paxton as the tie-in to Captain America. I don't remember if there was any correlation with that particular agent with Cap.
No, he was.
He was involved with Elektra.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, could they possibly bring back Jennifer Garner?
I doubt that.
For an episode.
I don't think that would happen. I don't know if she would even reprise that role.
I think if she reprised it more from the Daredevil role instead of the Elektra movie role, she might. But I don't know. One can hope. Agent Carter has gotten a set of showrunners. They have.
So it's on the move.
It's on the move. It's coming, which is a good thing. The question is going to be ABC or Netflix at this point in time.
That's a good question. I think it's going to be an ABC just because she's a SHIELD agent.
I think so too.
Well, she's a spy working for SHIELD. SHIELD overload.
Yeah. Well, so much of the juiciness has come out of the Television Critics Association's press tours. Now, that's a mouthful. In the past couple weeks. And this little nugget is regarding ABC and Marvel's recently announced Agent Carter series, which will follow the post-Captain America, the first Avenger exploits of Agent Peggy Carter. So it's going to be a World War II setting. Right. Or shortly also, after.
Did not the writers who wrote the script for Captain America are writing the show?
At least the first script.
Right.
The showrunners for the series will be Reaper creators, Tara Butters, and Michelle Fazekas. Fazekas. So, from their article, Lee says that the series has a good chance to be on the network, and further says that Hallie Atwell.
Lee, you mean ABC Entertainment Group President Paul Lee?
Yes.
Not Stan Lee.
Not Jim Lee either.
Or that Lee.
He's over at DC.
Right.
But they will be returning to reprise the role that she played in Cap 1. And of course, the Marvel one-shot on the Iron Man 3 disc. From the Reporter magazine or website, she's a strong, wonderful character if you've seen the one-shot, says Butters at TCA to support ABC's resurrection. We're happy to be involved. The EP also noted that she and Michelle, I'm not going to attempt the last name, could ultimately work on Resurrection and Agent Carter should both dramas continue on for the 2014-2015 season. So,
just a little fact out there, Fazekas and Butters also worked on Dollhouse as well.
Was that a Whedon project?
Yes, Dollhouse was.
So that seems very cool there. I have a clip. What's my clip from? Oh. Avengers Confidential. It's new, new anime coming.
Mm-hmm.
Or anime. Animation coming.
Animation.
It's coming March 25th on Blu-ray and DVD combo pack, DVD and digital from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. In this action-packed film, two of Marvel's most popular characters, Black Widow and Punisher.
Black Widow is voiced by Jennifer Carpenter, who people probably remember her on Dexter. And Punisher, voiced by Brian Bloom. Holy moly. You know who Brian Bloom is?
From Call of Duty.
Call of Duty? He was a soap opera actor way back in the day, wasn't he?
I'm not sure. I don't watch soaps.
I didn't say I didn't either, but I'm just saying. I think this is where it started.
But they will team up alongside Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and the rest of the Avengers. The synopsis of this is, after interfering with a top secret mission, the Punisher is taken into custody by S.H.I.E.L.D. By S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and Avenger Black Widow. At the orders of director Nick Fury, Punisher and Black Widow are sent on a mission to stop Leviathan, a global terrorist organization that plans to sell stolen S.H.I.E.L.D. technology to the highest bidder. Now, that's something that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have, an actual organization.
Yeah.
To go up against.
No, they don't.
Now the vigilante and the spy must work together to prevent this technology from falling into the wrong hands. The fate of the world
and of
the Avengers hang in the balance.
Oh no.
So.
It's rated PG-13, by the way.
So not exactly for the young ones, but I do have a small clip from it. It's a little bit of the trailer, like teaser trailer. So play that right now.
A Marvel animated film. Featuring the Avengers. Two legendary heroes go toe-to-toe against one unstoppable force. With the voice talents of Jennifer Carpenter as Black Widow and Brian Bloom as the Punisher. Marvel's Avengers Confidential, Black Widow and Punisher.
Now, the Blu-ray and DVD bonus features is Espionage and Punishment featurette. This featurette looks at the exciting versions of these popular Marvel characters as adapted in the stunning style of anime, from early concept art and storyboards to the final film.
Awesome. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about something.
What's up?
That I just lost geek points by saying Brian Bloom was on a soap opera.
It's okay. If it was an ABC...
Give me, please.
If it was an ABC soap opera, you're on a Disney... On the number one Disney internet radio station here on Sorcerer Radio.
Maybe I should just say nothing then.
Was he not on this network?
No, he was not.
Well, we'll let it slide this time because he's in a Marvel animated feature.
That's done by Sony.
Yeah, which is odd that it's not a Marvel Studios, but...
Yeah.
The second featurette is the Vigilante versus the Spy, a look at Marvel's Frank Castle and Natasha Romanoff. Each of these characters feature dark and complex origins that lead them to extreme action and extraordinary lives.
I love me some Natasha Romanoff.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Probably one of the... I wouldn't even know who to compare her with. Because, you know, there's always... DC and Marvel... You have X-Men, you have Teen Titans, you have... Justice League, you have Avengers. It is... Now, go one-on-one. Now, Wolverine, Batman. I mean, I don't know. I've never figured out the comparison with Black Widow.
Black Widow?
With DC.
I've never really thought about it, so I couldn't...
Would you go Batgirl with it, or would you go Wonder Woman?
I wouldn't go Wonder Woman.
I think Wonder Woman would probably be closer to Miss Marvel.
I think it's more, she's more of like a Batgirl because she's not a god or a super, you know, she doesn't have powers.
Right.
And she, you know, she's athletic, you know, gymnast, acrobat, martial arts, you know, all those. Same thing, kind of like Batgirl, Batman.
Right.
Type of character. She's got a little bit of everything going on. Plus, she was a spy.
True. So, that's Avengers Confidential, Black Widow, Wolf, Punisher. While we still got a few minutes, Marvel Unlimited, it's a cool little app. It's got the slowly building the entire collection of Marvel comics that have been digitized. And they keep slowly adding more and more to it. It comes three ways. Either in monthly subscription rate, an annual, or what they call annual plus, where you get a bunch of extra bonus features. Mm-hmm. Little swag items. They announced that some new comics coming out to Marvel Marvel Unlimited this week will be a lot of them from more recent, from 2012.
There's a couple 2011s in there too.
So. We'll start with 2011. Journey into Mystery.
You're up now.
No, you're not. Journey into Mystery to issue 654. Ultimate Comics X-Men number 29. Now, actually, going back before that, from 2005, X-Factor 259. In 2012, from 2012. Captain America number 9, Gambit number 15, Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man number 16, Scarlet Spider number 19, Thor God of Thunder number 10, I missed Ultimate Comics Spider-Man from 2011 number 25, Uncanny Avengers number 10. And then from 2013, What If, AVX, which is Avengers vs. X-Men, number 2, mm-hmm. Uncanny X-Force, number 8, Thanos Rising, number 4, Superior Spider-Man Team-Up, number 1, Superior Spider-Man, number 14, New Avengers, number 8, Hunger number 1, Hawkeye Annual number 1, and that pretty much is it.
The new issues will be out every Monday, and a sneak peek for the next week.
Correct. So, check out at marvel.com the Marvel Unlimited release calendar and see what's coming up. So, on that note, I think we're going to take a quick break. And, for these announcements from our sponsors and other shows here on Source World Radio.
So, I think I have everything. Shoes, hat, sunscreen, phone, tickets. Oh, okay, there they are. There's one more thing.
And if you're planning that long-awaited trip to Disney World, we have got the tips for you.
Ah, there it is. Can't leave without hearing the latest Disney trip tips before my Disney vacation.
Disney trip tips, Friday at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites mixed in with some of today's best music. And tips on visiting Walt Disney World. Disney trip tips, Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
The best-kept secret for getting deluxe Disney accommodations at a substantial savings is DVC-Rental.com. You don't have to own a Disney Vacation Club to stay in one of their deluxe villas. Visit DVC-Rental.com and ask Scott how to get your deluxe Disney resort booked for your next Disney trip. DVC-Rental.com.
Hey, don't forget to send me a postcard from the Muppet Studios.
I'm sorry. I can't do that, Walter.
But... Fury.
Because you're coming with us!
Book your next Disney vacation with Kristen Hetzel of Magical Journeys Travel, an unconventional agency for the unconventional client. Magical Journeys is dedicated to finding the best pricing for your next magical journey.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Kristen will work hard to save you money and give you the quality of service you deserve. As a well-established agency and an authorized Disney vacation planner, Magical Journeys Travel has many years in the travel industry and dealing with the infamous Disney reservation system. Let Kristen help you plan your next magical journey. To book travel or for a free quote, please contact Kristen Hetzel at www.magicaljourneystravel.com/Kristen. Follow her on Twitter at Kristen Hetzel.
Nice! Come on, everybody.
Magical Journeys, an authorized Disney vacation planner.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows, the new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. I'm your host, Mike, and on the other side is Ken. This coming week, the 29th, is New Comic Day. And as always, we give our picks for the week, our top three. And we were chatting briefly before show and discovered we've got six for the listeners this week, not five, because we both have three that are not alike. So, what do you have for your first one?
There's not too many new ones coming out this week either. First one, I will go with Inhumanity number 2, which I picked number 1 last week. It's a another Matt Fraction story. He's a writer. It's the tale of the Inhuman Queen. Medusa's kingdom is destroyed. Her king is dead and her people's population just increased exponentially. Everything is different. How could she possibly deal with it all? Yes. So that is my first pick. Inhumanity number 2.
I went for my first pick. Again, I think part of our picks is what we would get and what draws our attention for the week.
What seems interesting to us.
Yes.
I like the idea of inhumanity having people on Earth that may have DNA from the Inhumans, you know. So anyway.
Very cool. I went with Guardians of the Galaxy number 11 for my first pick. The Guardians of the Galaxy get a reminder of Earth when they cross paths with the all-new X-Men during the trial of Jean Grey. Mm-hmm. When an alien race discovers that the original Jean Grey is back on Earth, they decide to hold her accountable for the acts of the Dark Phoenix. And it's up to the Guardians to help the X-Men save her. You don't want to miss their first encounter between the two of the biggest franchises in the Marvel U. And this was written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, Mr. Bendis, if you please.
So, your number 2 pick.
My number 2 pick is Uncanny X-Force number 17. Why did I choose this? Well, I chose this because there is a villain back from the classic X-Force, which was Strife. He wants to exact revenge on a man who left him broken and adrift in the time stream, which was Cable, of course.
Right.
And as Strife's plan comes to bear, Hope is brought face to face with Bishop, the man who crusaded across centuries in a mission to exterminate her. This time around, she's ready to retaliate. And they'll hold nothing back as they race to destroy one another. So, that's a no holds barred, knockdown, drag out event. There will only be one X-Force team left standing.
Wow. And who's that written by?
Oh, the writer is Samuel Ryan Humphreys, and cover artist is Ramon Perez.
I went with Miracle Man number 2. I think you pitched
Miracle Man number 1, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kimoda, with one magic word, a long forgotten legend lives again. Freelance reporter Michael Moran always knew he was meant for something more. Now a strange series of events leads him to reclaim his destiny, relive the groundbreaking 80s adventures that captured lightning in a bottle, or experience them for the first time in these digitally restored, fully relettered editions. Issue 2 includes material originally presented in Warrior 1 through 5, plus bonus material. And the writer is Michael Angelo. So, our last picks for the week.
Yes, sir. I have to go with Superior Spider-Man number 26. Of course, written by Dan Slott. Cover artist is Ryan Stegman. You should follow him on Twitter. He's pretty funny. Ryan Stegman.
Okay.
I'm not sure his Twitter name. I'd give it out, but I don't have it. This one is why I chose it is because it sets the stage for the Goblin fight. The Green Goblin versus the original Hobgoblin. And the thing that happened at the end of number 25, that thing. That thing that raised all those questions. You won't have to wait any longer. This issue will answer those questions. But come on, the Green Goblin versus the original Hobgoblin? Come on. How can that not be your pick?
Well, Ryan Stegman
could
be found on Twitter at Ryan Stegman.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Oh, my Lord.
Inconceivable.
Well, how could you not go with that pick? I mean, you could, but I kind of carried on with one of my picks from earlier when we started doing this. Night of the Living Deadpool, number 2.
Mm-hmm. So you're sticking with the, like I stuck with Inhumanity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest Deadpool fan, but I mean, this is a nice little mashup, Night of the Living Dead. And Deadpool. Deadpool wakes from a food coma to find the zombie apocalypse has occurred.
Oh no.
Can the merc with the mouth avoid becoming the merc in their mouth? Just sounds so wrong. writer of the Deadpool Killogy, Colin Bunn, brings us to one of Deadpool's darkest tales ever. And not just because it's in black and white and red.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
When I saw zombie apocalypse, I was like, wait a minute, apocalypse as a zombie? Oh, no, he means like actual zombies.
Yes. So so that's it for
the picks.
Our picks of the week. You can always find those online at Comicology or on the Marvel app, which is run by Comicology. Or you can always find them at your local comic book shop.
Support your local comic book shops, please.
Yes, very much so. It is. Even if you buy digital, still go to your local comic book shop. There's always the tabletop games. There's always your card games.
And that
the trade paperbacks.
More than likely nowadays, comic shops also have a website that has a where they get kickbacks from having a Comicology link that they get, you know, they get some money from buying and digital copies as well.
And just remember too, if you're like me and a fan of Avengers West Coast or West Coast Avengers, last I checked, there was only one issue of each of those titles on Marvel Unlimited. So if you want your fix, you gotta go back and get those back issues. So with the announcement from DC that Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman, whatever it is, the Man of Steel sequel being pushed back to 2016.
10 months.
Breaking news almost right away from Marvel that Ant-Man is taking the old slot of the Superman or the Man of Steel sequel.
They moved it up 2 months.
Actually, they moved it up 2 weeks.
2 weeks, I'm sorry. Oh,
They moved it up from July 31st to July 17th.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure that's probably going to end up being a better slot because it's essentially two weeks removed from the July 4th craziness.
So remember, it fits right in there between the Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy slot as well.
True.
Because you've got Winter Soldier coming out April 4th. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the wrong year. Got it coming out after Age of Ultron. I'm sorry. It's 2015, not 14.
Correct.
This year. Next year.
Essentially, it's the last of the Phase 2. But it might as well be part of Phase 3.
It's coming out
after
Age of Ultron.
After the climax of Phase 2, so. Then, staying on movie news, the casting sheets came out about Fantastic Four.
I read this story, and my mind just went, WTF.
I'm not that thrilled about this. Yeah, major changes. It's been talked about over on Weeby Geeks. That, you know, Michael B. Jordan is already locked to play Johnny Storm. And of course, as far as we know, the rest of the characters are going to be Caucasian. Except for Johnny. Johnny's obviously black with Michael B. Jordan. So, explain to me, is Sue and Johnny not, related now at this point? Are they adopted? Are they, siblings from separate parents? You know, common father, common mother?
You know, it's not as, they can work that something in there. But the problem I have with this is, what are they doing to this story now?
I don't know. It's a total reboot.
Reed Richards and Ben Grimm, younger, it's kind of almost like an ultimate Fantastic Four.
Right.
You know, like they're trying to do this with other movies, and I just don't know why they're doing this when you already have years and years of story available that they've already screwed up once.
Right. Now, Josh Trank has come out and reported on Twitter that all these plot synopsis from the castings, his quote is, "The synopsis is definitely not the synopsis or anything close to the synopsis. I don't know who put that out." Bye! If it's on the casting sheets, then where did it come from?
I'm going to ask this to you and to everybody out there. Wouldn't it be nice if they at least stuck to the original origin?
It'd be better.
I mean, the Ultimate Universe is not really... I don't think it's... I was reading some posts here, and the person said it's not really necessarily a recipe for success, which I have to tend to agree. Because the original movies did not do any justice.
No.
To the characters or the story or anything.
It's
got the material. I do not understand.
It seems sad, but the only one that really seemed to do justice to the characters is the one that never got released, and that's the 1994 Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. Mm. I mean, that one was close to the origins and closer to the to the comics than anything that's been done since.
Right.
Rumor also has it too that they're not going to be in the blue uniforms.
Mm.
Okay, are they going? Well, are they like everything else, Marvel?
Right. I mean,
Are they going to do the 1994 cartoon uniforms, which were what, mainly white?
Right. Somebody else brings up a good point here. This is, I'm kind of going along with this person who wrote this. You know, you got Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created Johnny Storm.
Right.
As a white kid with his sister. Why do they feel it's necessary to change the work of the two greatest, writers, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, or artists, for the sake of making a racial statement?
I think you make Ben Grimm black, or you make Reed black, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, if you want to throw in a black actor just to help diversify the cast. It's not Sue or Johnny.
I mean,
it's one of the other two, or it's Doom.
Yeah, I mean, are they trying to make some kind of statement?
I think they are. I hate to say it, but I think they are trying to make a statement.
It's nothing racist or anything. It comes just from how the characters were created, how they could be. It's like if you took the Black Panther, instead of having him as an African king, have him be a white Jew from Palm Beach.
Or make him.
You know, that's what this guy's saying. This is I'm paraphrasing this guy who's complaining about this. So this is not my opinion. I agree with some of it, some of it I don't. I'm just putting it out there.
So it's.
And then other people say, well, there's nothing integral about Johnny Storm being blonde and white. It's not going to change his story.
Right.
But it does change his story, doesn't it?
It's like I said, explain the relationship between Johnny and Sue.
Yeah.
I mean, is it they had the same father? So right now, that'd be the only way this. Or do they have the same mother?
All right. Again, race has got nothing to do with this.
It's more
to bring up talking points.
In regards
to the story.
I think Fox has forgotten Johnny and Sue are brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I understand it's the 2000s. And you know, we've advanced a lot more than, hopefully, in this type of thought than in the past. But still, you know, we're more open-minded, but still, how do you explain? Because we know genetics, you can't get a.
So, in other words, it would be changing canon.
I think so. Because they're going to have to be stepbrothers. You know, step-siblings, not true blood.
I wish that Fantastic Four went back to Marvel.
At this point?
For filming. That's in terms of filming.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why Fox is rushing all this, is because they're up against the deadline.
They had a deadline, yeah, absolutely.
So, it's definitely not the way to go.
If that story synopsis is true, I don't think so either.
Yeah. And then Reed and Ben indentured to the government.
Yeah, what is that about?
And Reed's super intelligence is actually a mutation from the radiation exposure. He didn't already have it. It's changing way too much of the canon.
And they're being used as weapons by the government?
No. at this point in time, you might as well call the Silver Surfer the Bronze Surfer. And go ahead and change that up as well.
I mean, you might as well make Galactus a cloud. Oh, wait.
I was already done. So, our last story for this week, or one of our last stories for this week, is we're going to go inside Avengers World. It's a new title that just came out earlier this month. The second one comes out, I believe, next week or the week after.
I think the week after, if I'm not mistaken.
It's interesting. Marvel asks Nick Spencer, who helped launch Avengers World earlier this month,
Once people don't know Nick Spencer as he wrote Morning Glories. If anybody has read that.
Right. How did you decide where to start with Avengers World? What went into developing the opening page and the opening scene? His reply, I was really intrigued by the statement that Jonathan made, that the idea is this is an Avengers world. It's a bold statement from Captain America and the rest. This is a planet that falls under their protection. So it's not just New York, despite what New Yorkers think.
It's the world.
I was very drawn to the contrary opinions that would make themselves known. Following a statement like that, the opposing viewpoint, the idea that a whole lot of people would sit up and take note of a statement like that and have some objection to it.
You used to think the Avengers are the planet's protectors?
I think it's they're one of them.
It's kind of saying screw you to everybody else. All the other groups, huh?
True. I mean, the other groups do stuff too. I don't see the Defenders being that way. I do see the X-Men being world defenders.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that as they're usually more defending themselves, aren't they, than defending the world.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what's another good question that was asked. Basically, they just recap a lot of stuff from the first issue, which I don't want to spoil quite yet. Here's one. I guess prior to, prior to this question, Nick Spencer mentions, locations. And Marvel goes, I'm glad you brought that up because the Italy Squad, Hawkeye, Spider-Woman, Star-Brand, and Nightmask strikes me as a weird mix of characters, at least on the surface.
Right.
So apparently this is almost like, they're almost taking like a Justice League approach where there's going to be a squad in each country or that responds to each country or each region.
It reminds me of Batman Unlimited.
Or Incorporated.
Or Incorporated, I'm sorry, yeah. Incorporated. I was thinking Incorporated.
So,
I remember.
So a lot of the first issue, I guess, takes place around the Italy Squad. They bring up another good question. It's revealed that AIM Island is no longer AIM Island. So what is it? Nick Spencer says, this is AIM Empire. Darth Vader must be at the helm of this.
It's AIM Empire.
It's a massive leap forward for AIM, which is an organization that Jonathan and I have been building together for years. We're not going to stop until they're the biggest players they could possibly be. They'll do stuff for them.
I was just fast-forwarding into this paragraph where it says it's a mad scientist caught with dreams of entropy.
So that's it for Avengers World. It's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do. You've been listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. You can follow Ken on Twitter at what? I am Ken.
K-A-M-A-R-C-Y.
KAMRCY. Follow me at Marvel Geeks on Twitter as well. And until next week.